Hello and welcome to Season 1, Episode 4 of the Adrian and Joe Show, the podcast about all things business analysis, business architecture, business change, and pretty much anything else that's related. It's raw and it's time-boxed, and when we say it's time-boxed and time-bound, we really mean it. Joe has set a timer, and when the buzzer sounds at just 24 short minutes, the podcast will end. I'm Adrian Reed, and as ever, I'm joined by my fantastic friend and co-host, Joe Newbert. Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm raring to go, Adrian.
Fantastic. Well, tell us, Joe, what can we expect in this episode?
Well, I'm raring to go because this week we're talking about the perception of the business analyst role. As BAs, we deal with perception a lot, right? We facilitate different people who have different views, and we try and help them to arrive at some place of consensus between them. Yet perhaps, and somewhat ironically, our own role still struggles with its own identity issues. What we think it is versus what others think it is can often be a conflict.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It's an ongoing battle. And it does seem, well, to me at least, that everyone has an opinion about what BAs should do and how they should do it. And sometimes that often goes against the grain of what we as a community of BAs believe it is or isn't.
Yeah, the struggle is real, right, Adrian? But today we are joined by Natty Nazar, who has some perspective to help guide us through this. Natty is the Director of Business Analysis at a company called SoftServe. She's a visiting assistant professor at Lviv Polytechnic National University, and she describes herself as an evangelist of business analysis, which is probably best demonstrated through her recent social media post about being a business analyst that went viral. Now, as a good BA, I need to quantify the measure of viral. So for me, around 3 or 4 likes is pretty good. Above 5, and I'm probably cracking a beer open. But Natty's post received over 100 comments, over 1,000 likes, and reached more than 10,000 views. I mean, that's not too shabby for a post about being a BA. Welcome to the Adrian and Joe Show, Natty.
Hello. Hello. Happy to be here.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us. That's awesome that you got so many views and comments on your post. I'm really looking forward to our chat about this.
Yeah, I've actually got, I'm just a small comment. Yeah, I've actually got 95,000 views.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Crazy.
<That's> amazing.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal number. And I mean, I think it just goes to show the interest and debate around the BA role for it to reach such heights. So Natty, would you mind kicking us off by reading your BA business analyst monologue to us so that the listeners can if they've not read the post, can hear what your view that you put out there was? And can you also tell us how this post came about? I think it was the product of a boring sick day at home, wasn't it?
So actually, it was inspired by the video by one of the actresses from Sex and the City. I always struggle to remember names, but the video was about being a lady, and it was about contradictions that women in globally go through and what the society requires from them and stuff like that. So it was pretty viral as well. So I was inspired because, you know, you can relate it to so many things. You can relate it to many professions. You know, you can relate it not only to women, but also to men, to kids, to whatever. So there is the world, and world is demanding something from, you know, each individual. And it's about us to understand what we need to do and what we need to listen to, what we have not to listen to. And, we are just, smart creatures, and we need to make a choice. And, have our own perception of the things and how to behave. So this was my inspiration, I think. And one day I was, staying sick home, and it just, came to me in such a way.
Wonderful, wonderful. Do you perhaps have it in front of you? Can you read it for the listeners?
Yes, I do. Of course I do.
Lovely. Thank
I've written
you.
It every day. So, inspired Boris and Trans. Be a business analyst, they said. Read B.A. Bach. It will make you a professional. But don't use too much of it. No one likes formal processes and a lot of documentation. Drive, engage, facilitate. Make stakeholders love you, they said. Do it remotely. No time for travels and gathering stakeholders together. Be skeptical. Don't trust what they say. Double check, confirm, validate, always question. But don't be skeptical too much. You won't build any good relationship. Be detail-oriented, they said. Don't miss anything. Always ask questions. Don't be detail-oriented. Don't ask so many questions. Everybody gets bored. Be creative. Come up with solution options. Don't be creative. They know what they want. You better work on your user stories. Identify a problem, but don't ask questions. The users know what they want. No one likes talking about problems. Talk about solutions.
I love it. It really struck a chord with me. And as we've heard with business analysts all over the world, and probably not just business analysts, but project managers too, I think it was something that so many people could resonate with and apply to what they do. What did you think, Adrian?
I think it's fantastic. I think it really resonates with probably every BA, that there is that contradiction, and you know, and it's a tricky one, and it's kind of worrying that it's a worldwide perception. Yet at the same time, perhaps it's reassuring that it's a shared reality. So, I mean, Natty, why do you think these contradictions exist, and why are they so universal?
Yeah, I think we all work in people business, yes? Yeah? So every day we have tons of communications and we are around of, you know, a lot of people. And, you know, business analysis is a lot about communication, is a lot about collaboration and engagement. So the amount of stakeholders we interview every day, you know, going back and forth, you know, analyzing requirements, validating requirements, doing UAT, you know, user acceptance testing, whatever. So you have a lot of conversations and you have to meet people. Yeah, this is your mandatory thing to do. And, you know, when you deal with people, you deal with all of those different perceptions. And, you know, people are people, and some people are friendly, some people, you know, they stand for their own perceptions and their own views, and they would like things to be done in their own way. Yes, this is normal. Yeah, we're, you know, everybody's like that at some point of time. And you need to be in between. So you need to align everybody. You need to be a bridge that connects all the dots, and you need to resolve the problems and conflicts. So you have to listen, you have to be emphatic, and you need to have your own position. You know, you need to understand what to do and how to do and when to do. And this is difficult. And I think we face a lot of contradictions because we meet with people every day and those people are different. And you need to play, you know, you're a BA, but you have to play different roles. Sometimes you're a psychotherapist. Sometimes you just need to, you better not say anything, just listen. Sometimes you need to stand your position because, you know, you might risk the whole project, the whole product you're developing, or you have to explain that what you're delivering and your team, your developers, or whatever you work with, you know, they do something right and you have to prove it. So I struggle, then, you know, I have a lot of stakeholders every day, and a lot of times I have to prove that what I'm doing is really something that they need. It's a value, and I have to fight against a lot of, you know, politics as well. So, you know, who didn't see that?
yeah. I mean, it's such a great point, Natty, and I think as you were talking there, I was thinking one thing I always get really worried about is when it seems like there's no conflict, when it seems like everyone's agreeing, and in the back of my mind, I always think this is weird, because like if it's a major change, surely there's going to be some difference of opinion. And sometimes I think, like, agreement can be almost a worrying sign. It's like, well, maybe people aren't engaged. Like, if there's no conflict, maybe people aren't really speaking their mind.
Yeah, actually, this is the other side of the coin, right? So, when you don't get any feedback, when there is no conflict and everything, you know, seems to be smooth, expect a storm.
Exactly, expect the storm, because sometimes it's like people aren't yet reading the details. So they're just thinking about the high level stuff and they're saying, yeah, it'll be fine. And then, you know, months later they come back and object. So it's like a time to really engage. And I suppose in many ways, we shouldn't be surprised there are contradictions, because let's face it, as human beings, we're pretty much all walking contradictions when you think about it.
There we are. And you threw something new in there for me, actually, Natty, something I've not considered before. So, I mean, obviously I resonated with your monologue of what you said, the differences between what we think we do and what other people think we do. And I'd always put that down to a misunderstanding, let's say, and people just not getting, you know, what it is as BAs do, but also us maybe not communicating and selling what we do well enough. But the new thing that you threw in there for me was your, what I want to call, many-faced business analyst, in that we actually show a different side of ourselves to different people at different times in the project, different faces to different people at different levels in the organization. So if we are inconsistent in how we behave with different people and at different times, it's actually no wonder there's a contradiction out there.
Yeah, but so you need to be who you are, but in sometimes you need to have this, you know, engagement strategy. Yeah, this is how we call it these days in VA BOC, right? So yeah, there is an approach that you set up with the stakeholders. So if you, for example, have 20 people in your project, you will not behave like a different Nazi, yeah, with those 20 people. You're funny with the one person and you behave like, I'm sorry, jerk with another one. So it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But you need to maybe show, you know, this is the same as you prepare the different set of requirements packages to different stakeholders, because, you know, something relates to a specific group of stakeholders. So you don't have to discuss, you know, everything that you do with everybody, yeah, because it's not relevant. So that's the same way you behave with different groups of stakeholders, yeah. So whatever you will ask, I don't know, a CEO of the company, you will ask different questions. The junior program engineer, right, software engineer, for example. So those types of questions will be different. And the same is the engagement strategy. So you will have different behaviors, and you expect different results of your conversations with different people. So sometimes you come to stakeholders and you know that, you know, to sell something to them or to persuade them in something, you need to behave this way better than that way. Yeah, they don't like jokes, for example. You need to be, you know, you need to be more reserved, whatever.
Yeah,
so this is what I meant. So, and sometimes you have to listen, sometimes you have to talk, sometimes you have to drive the conversation, sometimes, you know, people want to talk and you don't do that, so you don't want to be dominant on such a meeting. So that is more what I meant.
Okay yeah,
otherwise you're in trouble. Yeah, so yeah, you won't be consistent having those, you know, different yourself with different people.
Yeah, it's not an easy job, is it? And I wonder, I see this divide almost that sort of goes through the opinion of the BA, which is almost, and I'm going to sort of paint this with a broad brush here, but let's say that you've got the anorak BA who's very keen on following process, right, and methodology and doing things right. And then you have the business or the project manager who are very keen to get something done quickly and out there, you know. So we have this sort of time versus quality divide and the pressure of business priorities and the need to get things done. So how can we as business analysts better sort of bridge that divide?
That's an interesting question. You promised not to be difficult.
Apart from that one.
Yeah. So I think it all depends. So everybody might have a different strategy. So you cannot have everything. You cannot follow, you know, all those targets at the time on a project. So there are some priorities. Yeah, is it about speed? Is it about quality? Is it about business priorities? So you need to discuss this with different stakeholders and reprioritize. So I would focus on quality. That means I'm going to work, you know, more time, and the analysis will take more time, but we're going to get, you know, something very precise, and we will be certain about the product we develop or, you know, initiative we work on, whatever. But, you know, if there are some other things that are more critical, you know, you have to reshuffle, and you need to be flexible. And I'm not saying that you need to obey to the change every day, you know, that stakeholders, you know, force you to do, and you need to understand what is the priority. So is someone expecting some quick wins? Is someone expecting, you know, great product in long-term perspective? Is someone expecting the clients to be happy? So you need to understand those business drivers behind the scenes and the expectations of your stakeholders, and just prioritize them. So this will be probably the first thing I would do. And, you know, a lot of people, even myself, yeah, I fail many times. You know, you meet a part of stakeholders, so you build your agenda. This is what's important to them. Then in a month, you meet some other stakeholders that are managing those stakeholders you've met before, and they have a different agenda, and they have different expectations, and you have to, you know, reshuffle. So you need to be flexible. If you're not flexible, it's going to be difficult these days. You know, we live in constant change management. Look what's going on, yeah? So the world is changing every day. We have, you know, some, you know, different situations, and we have to somehow align and live with that, and, you know, be able to change, not to be scared of that. I got your question right, so this is my philosophic answer.
I think that's really interesting, Natty, and I think a lot of real insightful ideas in there. And as you were speaking, I was thinking about how often as BAs we end up needing to convince people of the value of what we do, because
I do it every day.
right. It's like this again. The struggle is real. So how have you any tips or ideas or suggestions on how we can really influence change and demonstrate the value of what we do as BAs?
I can. So just, you know, a couple of tips I have, you know, from my own experience. I might be not the best representative, right? But I definitely have an experience. Let me pull my thoughts together. I have just too much of stuff in my head going on. You need to always understand, you know, what people are expecting from what you're doing. So if you're not sure till the very end what's happening and why this, you know, initiative is taking place, a project or product to develop, you know, nothing good gonna happen with it. So you have to, you know, talk to as many people as needed to, you know, make this vision, make this insight. So what do we expect at the very end? Who is expecting that? Why? You know, what are we solving? What is the problem? So do we understand the problem? Are we aligned with this problem? So I'm trying to, you know, build this vision for myself to understand where I stand and what I have. You know, then be honest and be sure in how you're explaining what you're doing. And if you're offering something, if you want to convince your stakeholders that what you do is right, so don't focus on how you do it. You know, focus on what you're going to deliver and what problem, you know, it's going to solve and why is it important. So I'm want to work on different products. So, you know, I have a lot of experience working with IT products. So, you know, developing products or, you know, helping in software development. So this is more relevant experience that I have. And if I don't understand the, you know, buyer and user persona expectations, and I will not be able, you know, to build a good product. So I might guess, I might assume, but I'm always trying to say stakeholders, if you don't give me an access, you know, to those people, or you're against that, nothing going to happen with it. And we will not deliver something, you know, successful. So I'm pretty straightforward with that. And, you know, what I do, even if people tell me, you know, don't go there, don't talk to those people, you know, you don't have to do that. You know, we are afraid you're going to, you know, you will not do You will not explain our product the way we would do that. So I will do it secretly.
So I'm gonna do some Spanish.
I'm gonna investigate. I'm gonna, you know, post something on Facebook or LinkedIn. I'm looking for some experts and just interview them secretly. You know, not providing a lot of data publicly, but I will definitely do that. And I will, you know, deep dive and gather insights. And I'm gonna say, so what we're doing right now is not relevant, and we need to change that. So I'm kind of a revolutionary person, that because I come from Ukraine, I guess.
And it's interesting. I mean, I love that kind of maverick approach, and it really, I think I have a similar view, because I sometimes talk about having to do business analysis by stealth. Like, you know, you just have to do it in the background, even without permission.
So you have to ask about permission, right? But even if you don't get it, you know, you have to investigate. You need to be, you know, you need to have this, you know, natural skill to, how to say it? I'm lacking words. So you have to be interested in everything. So you need to like to deep dive into different, you know, details and find the core reason of things that are happening. Then you will, you know, build the chain reaction if, you know, one, how to solve it and stuff like that. So if that piece is missing, I'm not satisfied, and I will not be able to, you know, plan my work accordingly.
Yeah, I think to paraphrase maybe what you were saying, but curiosity is such an important trait of a business analyst.
It is. Yeah. I forgot this word.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying it to highlight the need for people to have curiosity. It's such a needed trait in business analysts. Otherwise, you're not lurking stealth-like in an office a la Adrian, but you're just sat behind a desk, probably bouncing emails back and forth. It's a much needed trait. And you mentioned earlier about evolving and changing, and, you know, saying that the role is something that lives and does morph and matures. So a question I've got for you is, I'm keen to hear the answer on, is where do you see the BA role heading? How will the business analysis profession shift in the future? Or do you think it will look sort of always a bit like it looks now?
Definitely not. It's changing. It is changing. And look, you know, how many new technologies we have these days in the world, in many different areas, and all the businesses, they go through different transformations. So look at retail, look at, I don't know, even manufacturing, look what cars, you know, we get these days, and, you know, how much stuff they have inside. So we are changing, we are evolving globally in many different areas, and so are VAs. And you have to stick to the reality. And you need to understand, you know, what's happening in your, you know, domain you are specializing in, your, you know, business area, let's say. And you need to understand where technologies go to. So everything is connected to technology these days. I mean, you know, hardware, software, we live in the world of, you know, machine learning and IoT and, you know, a lot of different stuff. So you need to be on top of that. So you need to read about that. You need to, you know, learn the stuff and apply in your work every day. So this is already some kind of evolution, right? But also, you know, even the way we work with stakeholders is changing. Yeah. So, you know, more and more is happening remotely, and it's just inevitable, because we face globalization, and companies are dispersed in many different countries. So you need to get used to that. So if you were successful in doing workshops offline, you know, and, you know, facilitating people, you know, you bring yourself, your personality, you share your emotions. So this is one thing, but when you do it remotely, that's absolutely different. So you have to master this new skill of doing remote workshops, for example, and so on and so forth. So it's inevitable for this profession to change. And even judging by the new standards that IABA, you know, is publishing, you know, they already see that. So you have the, you know, data analysis profile already, you have the security, cyber security standard for business analysis. So they are adding more and more on top of the core business analysis profession, so that, you know, BAs would, you know, grow in this kind of a T-shaped model, right? So you don't grow up, but your shoulders are growing already. So you get a lot of extra things that you have to learn to, you know, to stay competitive and, you know, to to be needed.
Yeah, to stay current, and that's a fantastic point. That I mean, the buzzer buzzed, so that's a fantastic point for us to leave our conversation. A fantastic closing point around us always as professionals having to stay current, having to learn more. So, fantastic. Thanks so much for your time, Natty. So much insight there. I'm absolutely certain that people want to learn more about what you do. They'll want to stay in touch with you. How can people connect with you? So can they find you on LinkedIn, Twitter? Do you have a blog?
I have LinkedIn profile, Natty Nazar. I have Facebook profile, Natty Nazar. I have Instagram profile, Natty Nazar. So it's easy. It's pretty easy to find me by my name. I'm going to start my blog really soon, and I'll post on those, you know, media I've just mentioned, you know, more information about that. And, you know, if you go to LinkedIn, just, you know, stop by, send me a message, anybody.
Awesome.
Nice. Lovely. We'll pop all of those handles into the show notes so that people can indeed get in touch with you, Natty. And I just want to say thanks for joining us on the pod. It's been absolutely delightful to talk with you about the business analyst role.
Thank you so much. And it was a great pleasure to talk to you guys.
Cool. And thanks to you, the listener, for tuning in too. We appreciate you being here as always. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes, on Google Podcasts, on whichever your podcast app of choice is, so that maybe the Adrian and Joe show can go viral. And again, in giving some BA context, that's anything above 5 likes. And of course, you can keep the riff going by leaving your comments over on the blog at 168.fm. That's the words 168, not the numbers. We'd love to hear what you think about the great business analyst contradiction and how we can find our way through it. Natty, Adrian, and I will join you there. Until then, keep growing.